people get so stuck on what your current reality is. Your current reality is just, it is just a reflection of yesterday's thinking.
Hey, my friend, how you doing? This is Sasha, and you're listening to Enlivened.
I am so happy to have you here. Honestly, you are a soul sister. From day one, we had a connection. It was kind of magnetic. It was crazy. It was one of those things like the universe, like people talk about. You just like meet those people. You're like, oh my God, you are my person. We were like this. We fell in love and it was like love at first sight.
Yes. So
that's how I feel about you. But would you like to please introduce yourself, your title, and who do you help in the world?
I love you so much. And absolutely, that is exactly how I felt about you when we met. And I was like, oh my God, she does as many emojis as I do. I fucking love her. She lets people feel her through the internet. Like, that is my soul sister. So thank you for having me. My name is Victoria Welsh, the Fierce Feminine Coach. I'm a tantric wealth and tantric wealth coach and intuitive business mentor. I am also a channeler of spirit through my clair senses, and I help women to build online businesses but also deepen their connection to money. I love to talk money mindset, but my passion is wealth consciousness, the frequency of abundance.
Love that. That's like, I can't wait to dive into this. So for the humans who don't know the difference between money mindset and wealth consciousness, what would you say is the difference? Like, what, there is such a thing as money mindset? And then Second of all, you're telling me there's a difference with wealth consciousness? Like, what do you mean? Can you go a little bit further for us?
I would love to illuminate, because I did not know there was a difference when I first started out. And I would hear people like throw these taglines around in words. So this is kind of like my spin on it. And, you know, money mindset is the blueprint that you develop from the unwitting adults in your life that you learn by conditioning. So you'll learn verbally by the things people said about money. You learn modeling by the way things people did things around money. And then you learn through experience, your experiences with money. If you filed bankruptcy, if you got to the cash register and didn't have money in your account. When we have these experiences, they kind of lock in a trauma into our subconscious programming, right? So this is money mindset. Wealth consciousness is the frequency of abundance. What I do with the people that come into my containers is I remind them of their divinity. I remind them that they were born abundance. I bring them back home to that divinity. And in doing that, we do the alignment work, because when you remember your divinity, you remember that you were born abundant, you truly have a shift at the subatomic level. Like, you have a shift in your frequency where the fear around money disappears. And even being a business owner and, you know, month to month things come in and you have to pay your bills, the fear dissipates completely around money because you have that alignment and that knowing that God source creator is the source of your money, not your clients, not your paycheck, God source creator. And when I decide and I align, I receive.
Yeah. Amen. Love that. That's so empowering. So I love that. I'm already like vibing just you talking. I'm like, oh, I'm feeling your vibes, baby. This is so good. Were you always like this, Victoria? Were you born like that? Did you always have such a sexy mindset? Like, what happened? Tell us.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I've gone through the shitter. I'm allowed to cuss, right?
Absolutely. Okay, no, this is like the place where I don't want any filters. Like, I want the conversations to be like you're at the restaurant with your best friend. This is it. And then people that are listening are eavesdropping on this conversation.
Yes. Okay. I'm on the Zoom call with my best friend and we're having a drink here. Right?
Okay. Yeah, water.
Shitty mindset. I had a really poor money blueprint. So much so that my money blueprint carried all the way into late adulthood. So again, our blueprint comes from the people, usually the people that raised us or the things we heard about money or the people that influenced us around money. and you can dive into your blueprint and know what kind of, you know, whether you're a money avoider, a money spender, a money hoarder, you can look at that. I was a money overspender and an avoider. I did not open my bills. I did not look at my accounts because I had such fear around money and such a poor relationship with money that money, my mindset was money doesn't stay. I could call it in. I could call lots of money in. I could bring lots of money in, but money did not like to hang out with me. It did not stay. So I always called in a lot of money, but more went out. I was an avoider. I was an overspender. I was filling voids by shopping a lot, doing a lot of the overspending, a lot of as soon as the money came in, just did it. Now, we, again, the unwitting adults in our lives, I had always blamed my mother for my poor money mindset because my mother was an overspender. She would get my father's check. They were blue collar workers. My parents were. And she would get my dad's check. She was very good about paying her bills. She would keep a little book next to her where she sat on the sofa, and she would write down to the penny how much she owed on her bills, and she would calculate it out, and she would write out her checks, and then she would see how much money she had left, and she would shop on QVC or Home Shopping Network or whatever shopping
show. Yeah.
Just frivolous shit. I mean, bullshit. Yeah. My mom just passed away this year, and I went through some of their stuff, and I was like, who buys this dumb shit? Like, only my mother bought all this kind of dumb shit. Like, she has so much stuff still in the packages. Like, seriously. Oh. And so my mom was the overspender. My father was the avoider. He never even knew what his check looks like. He would give the check to my mother. She would cash it. She would give him $50 for his 2 weeks or however long he got until his next check came. And that was it. And he would have to ask her for money. He never even knew how to use a ATM card, nothing. Wow. And then I realized later in life, he was the avoider. And I took up this avoidance with him. So much so, Sasha, that I was making multiple six figures at one point in my life with the man I was dating. We had restaurants. We had owned rental homes. Like, we together combined, we were bringing in multiple six figures. And I still did not have a savings account or extra money in case of an emergency. We just spent so much. And then after that relationship was over, I got myself into a whole bunch of debt. Mm-hmm. And ended up losing my home to foreclosure during the crisis, the market crisis of 2009, the market crash. I filed bankruptcy in 2014, my car was repossessed. I was living on workers' compensation at the time because I had had an injury. Like, I was at my all-time money low. What I believe to be the worst thing in my life. It was like the bottom of the barrel for me because I had gone from driving a Mercedes, wearing these stiletto heels, owning a couple houses, to losing everything.
What was that like emotionally when you were faced with that rock bottom? Like, what was revealed in that rock bottom? I always find those stories very interesting.
Yeah. So my rock bottom had start, of course, you know, you don't just wake up one day and you're broke. You know, so my rock bottom had started, you know, prior to that. In 2006, my brother was murdered. And when he was murdered, my trauma response was to work. I was a nurse. I was working six 12-hour shifts a week, night shift, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And I was doing like six shifts a week, bringing in all kinds of money, spending it on that one day off, spending as much as I could. Taking care of my parents because they came to live with me after he was murdered because he was murdered in their home. The guy I'd been with for 9 years, he was like, I can't do all this. We split up at the same time. I didn't even know that I was pregnant. I lost a baby. So all these traumas happened in a matter of like 6 weeks. And so my trauma response was to just work. I then met someone else and got swept away and found out I was pregnant not long after that, and woke up one day realizing I was in a narcissistic abusive relationship. So I was still in my trauma. I still hadn't grieved. I was still, you know, compounded trauma. And then I ended up leaving him and going back to my home, the one that ended up getting taken in the foreclosure. But when I left him, all of the trauma began to surface, all of the response, because for you know, I left him in 2009. My brother was murdered in 2006. It was like 3 years. Those 3 years, I was just pounding the pavement and not paying attention to my traumas.
Let me knock myself out with work so I don't have to pay attention to how painful this is.
Yes. And in 2009, when I left him, I then developed an addiction to prescription pills because now I'm going to numb out even more. Yeah. And I spent the next 2 years seeking revenge on his life. All I wanted to do, I was in that victim mentality. Mm-hmm. I had been hurt. I couldn't see all my pain, and I just wanted other people to hurt. I just wanted someone to suffer for what I was going through.
You're actually tapping into something that I don't think people who, well, I'm speaking for myself. Before I began my healing journey, I had no idea how much my hurt was hurting others. When I became conscious of that, that's what propelled me to dive so much deeper, because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not just hurting myself. I'm not just feeling unhappy. I'm making other people around me feeling miserable.
Yes.
Like I'm not that great. I am actually hurting people. Sorry, yeah. Just keep going.
No. So there were two big pivotal points in my life during that time. The one was when I finally woke up to this narcissistic abuse and said, not another day. But it wasn't me. My daughter, who was 13 years old at the time, she was 11 when I got together with him, 13 when I left him. She was 13. He had come home. He had come home from a day of work and had asked me to do something that day that I just hadn't gotten to yet. Our son was only 6 months old. I was exhausted. I was breastfeeding. I was exhausted. I didn't do the thing he had asked me to do. So he verbally attacked me, cursed me out, called me every name but my name, told me he was leaving. And what, the baby was in my arms while he was doing this. My daughter was in her bedroom, told me he was leaving to go have a beer because he couldn't stand me, called me some of the most awful things. And he just slammed the door and left. And I just proceeded to cry, like sitting in my pain and absolute tears. Like, how did I get here? How did I get here? I dreamt of this beautiful life. I dreamt of having a home, having a family, being a great mother. And here I was caught up with this man who couldn't even see me. Mm-hmm. And I lost it. My daughter walked out of her bedroom to throw a little icing on my cake and say, I'm calling daddy to go live with him because I can't stay another day in this house with him. And that was my wake up call. And that day I left him. I left him that day. It was her. It was my daughter.
Unavailable for it.
Like, she was not. She said, I'm done. She didn't have the feelings for him that I had. As a matter of fact, she had very opposite feelings for him.
Yeah. Like,
I don't care. I am not staying here. And at 13 years old to say, you are worth more than this, mom. What the hell are you doing? Wow. I can't sit in this. Gone.
Love her. That's so powerful.
It was so powerful, Sasha. 2 years later, she would do the same thing to me again.
Wow.
2 years later, while we're living at home, and I told you, I spent 2 years seeking revenge on this man. I just wanted his life to be miserable. It's embarrassing, all the things.
Like drinking poison, right? But we do it because we don't know we're doing it.
Right. And she one day woke up and came downstairs and I was at my computer doing something and laughing with a friend about what I was doing to him. And she said, "You're miserable. I don't even like being around you." And I was like, "Me? I'm the most fun person you'll ever meet. What are you talking about?" She was like, "You are a miserable person and you get your kicks out of trying to ruin that man's life. What is wrong with you? Let it go."
What a wise kid you have. Two kids, sorry.
Right, but yeah,
wise kids.
Seriously, my teachers, they're my teachers. They're my absolute teachers. And it was that day that I said, I'm done. What am I doing? She's right. What am I doing? Why am I giving this man my energy? I'll never get back together with him. Like, I knew that. But like, he wouldn't visit his son and I would post things about him on social media. I was awful. I was awful. And that day she woke me up. And so in that moment, I started seeking. I started seeking answers. I went to a therapy. I got in with a therapist, but then I started seeking something outside of me to guide me. What I had grown up in was the church. So I began seeking, I started going back to church. I started reading the Bible. I began like buying all these self-development books, but religious self-development books.
Yeah.
And it was a friend who gave me a book about karma. And I read this book and had a mystical moment.
What was it called? Sorry, because one of the questions I ask on this podcast is, what are your three most life-changing books? So let's go to that.
I knew the name of it.
Okay, maybe we can put in the
show. I have some other life-changing books.
Okay.
But this was the book that shifted my, I had a download in that moment that life was never going to be the same and that it wasn't what I had thought it was. It was, I mean, eyes wide open. Do you know when that eyes wide open, like, oh my God, I've been seeking something outside of myself. And I have been doing all these awful things. I am calling the same stuff onto me that I'm putting out. It was, my consciousness literally expanded 7 levels that day. Like, it was like explosion. All of a sudden, I knew things that I didn't know before. I just had this awakening. And the funny thing is, like, just to add to that, I went from this, you know, Mercedes driving, stiletto heel wearing, egomaniacal woman, you know, to a barefoot hippie within a matter of 7 days.
You know, I actually, like, I didn't do the exact same thing, but it's like kind of similar in a way. Like, I ended up in the forest of South Africa dancing barefoot and, you know, singing to the trees, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, I hear you. Like,
my family literally did an intervention on me because they thought that something was terribly wrong with me. You know, at this point, I wasn't even taking the pills anymore. They thought that something was terribly wrong with me because the electricity was getting cut and I didn't care. Like, the universe will take care of it. I know it'll be fine.
Actually, I would love to dive right there. Like, let's go right there because I think that some people are going to have that aha moment that you had. Like, maybe. This isn't my intention because you shared. Okay. I know that some people that are listening to this right now are being told either work your ass off, save money, you know, like the Dave Ramsey method. And then some people are like, no, just trust. Abundance is coming. And they're like, well, which is it? So I want to know if you had to explain to someone, let's say that we're having dinner together and my other friend that I haven't talked to in years, she shows up and she's like, your money coach, tell me what I need to know. Let's say she has like 20K of debt. She doesn't like her job. She's not married. She's not no kids. And maybe she's in like a mid 30s or something.
Okay, perfect. So the first thing is we always have such a negative emotion, feeling associated with money. Most of us do. have a negative feeling associated with money. When we open up our bank account and it doesn't have that much, or when all these deductions start coming up and you look at your bank account and you get that sinking feeling like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Especially in business, when we are working with clients that we, you know, I don't know what I'm going to sell next month. I'm not quite sure if I have the same one-on-ones, like with the not guaranteed. A lot with people who are starting out in business. This fear truly arises within us, and we've got this, you know, this feeling associated with it. I did this with my 9-to-5. I would spend and avoid and not look at. And then I would go to pay something and it would get declined. And I'd be like, how's my money declined? And look back at my account, like, because I hadn't tracked everything, because I hadn't been looking at everything, because I just, all right. First of all, money likes attention. That's money likes attention. And so why I call myself a tantric wealth coach is because tantra is, this has nothing to do with sex. Everyone that thinks, oh, the tantra is sex. It's tantra is a deep spiritual practice. It's like 7,000 years old. And tan means expansion and tra means liberation. But it's an expansion of your consciousness in order to attain liberation. Mm. Who doesn't want liberation of that fear associated with money? Mm. So tantric wealth is developing this deep relationship with money, this respect for money, while doing my divinity work at the same time, alignment with God's source creator, deepening my relationship with money so that money loves to hang out on the frequency with me, so that money is drawn. I always say we don't earn money. We attract money. We are an attractor. And so having debt should not carry a negative connotation to it either, because there's gratitude, just absolute gratitude that people trusted you enough to give you money, to extend a loan to you. You have that, they have that much faith in you, or the credit card companies have that much faith in you to pay down your loans. That it, there has to be gratitude behind your debt. So many people carry, again, a negative connotation around debt. There's nothing to be upset about or fearful about around it. When we drop the fear and we increase our frequency in the relationship with money and we do the divinity work, the alignment, so that we then attract more. We're then able to receive more. So your friend that comes to the table, I would say, Let's hold off on the debt right now. Let's become an attractor. Let's remember who you are and remember that you were born of abundance, that the social conditioning is what made you believe that you had to work hard for your money or that money doesn't grow on trees. The trust is where people get stuck, right? So this is truly a muscle that we can work out and develop, just like going to the gym. This muscle you develop over time. It's a daily practice. I do money mindset, wealth consciousness work every single day. Every single day, it is in my ritual to do money mindset work and wealth consciousness work. So I'm still always digging out my limiting beliefs and I'm aligning with my divinity and remembering who the fuck I am. Every single day. But the trust part is where most people get caught up. Like, well, I can't trust. I'm looking at my bank account right now and my bank account doesn't have it in there. And so what do you mean? Like, people get so stuck on what your current reality is. Your current reality is just, it is just a reflection of yesterday's thinking.
Right.
And this is not just woo-woo shit. This is brain science. This is the placebo effect. This is true. This, you create your reality with what you're thinking. Right. And when the fears pop up, the trust and the belief is, believing is trusting in the unknown forces of the universe, okay? What are the unknown forces of the universe? Whatever you call your higher power, God, source, creator. What does it mean to me? For God, source, creator, that means the divine mind, the divine intelligence, the divine light. Guess what? It is not separate from me. It is me. It is the very essence of me. Therefore, I'm trusting in this light to be so magnetic and this electromagnetic field to be so bright that clients are going to find their way to me, that money is going to show up for me. And I'm going to tell you a story about how money showed up for me just recently. I'm going to tell you that.
I'd love to hear that.
Yes. It was an incredible story because it ties back into what I said in the beginning.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So the trust and the belief factor is knowing that what I believe in today and the frequency that I stay on today is what is going to show up in my life very soon. I don't like to say tomorrow because then people are like, but it doesn't. It didn't show up the next day. Like very soon. But yeah. Every time you fall out of that frequency, the muscle is doing the work again to get back into alignment. The minute the fear shows up, you know, I live near the beach. I go for a walk on the beach. I stick my feet in the sand. I laugh with my son. I watch a movie. I got up this morning. I did a goddess dance. I started twirling. I started dancing. If you have a business and people aren't buying from you, or you're in a low, you know, place in your business, it is an inner game. You have to do the frequency work and become aligned again. So then I would say to your friend also, yes, there is a part of you that has to then, there is strategy around money.
Right.
But the big but is, I would not even work with you about strategy around money until we got your frequency right.
Right. There's so much, I love what you said. I love that last sentence that you said, like, I wouldn't even work with you on strategy until you got the frequency right. Because it's like, you're not even open, like there's not even like your consciousness can't even take that in yet. Like you need to really have, it's almost like turning the boat around. Like we need to just stop going this way, just like pause the fucking boat for a second, and then we'll go that way and then we'll take momentum. But you want to have momentum before you're even changing direction. So yeah. I love what you're saying. I actually had so many other questions for you, but I really want to hear that story.
Okay.
You have to share like more than anything.
Okay. So I have a free Facebook group called The Fierce Feminine Sisterhood. And
it's fierce.
It is fierce as hell. I love creating a sacred masculine container for my divine feminine to play. And this is why the divine, the fierce feminine, because we have to have our inner king show up for us and hold us, hold space for us. And then we can do the fun. And the inner king, this masculine container, is getting right around money. It is checking your bank account all the time. It is writing down everything that's ever going to go up out. It is looking at what's coming in daily and appreciating it. Like, so your masculine container around money consists of these different things. So in September, I ran a 5-day abundance challenge. And one of the days was truly cleaning up your space because money likes to come into a clean space. You know, it was all the money mindset stuff around this abundance challenge. But I had been doing work around, I know you know this book because of Jim Fortin, the Florence Scovel Shin.
Oh,
book.
Yeah.
So I had been doing work around this, right? And I had been, every single morning, I wake up and I'd say, I give thanks to the divine mind right now. I give thanks for the $15,000 in cash that is mine by divine right, that's being released to me right now under grace and perfect ways. Thank you.
I love that. Under grace and perfect ways. That's so good.
Under grace and perfect ways. And I would just, this was my mantra every morning. This was my affirmation every single morning, right? While doing this abundance challenge and doing these affirmations, I get a letter in the mail saying, we have sent a check for $10,119 to your bankruptcy trustee. What in the hell is going on here? So I look back. Remember that bankruptcy I filed? Remember that Remember that car that was repossessed? Well, there was a class action lawsuit against this bank that I was part of, and they said they had accidentally charged some money that they shouldn't have charged during these car loans. My car that was repossessed, they paid me for it and in addition to it.
And some people question how manifestation works. Like, stop asking. It will find you when you're fucking ready. It's like, that's, and it's really crazy. People are like, yeah, your woo-woo shit doesn't work. I'm like, keep saying that, because that's exactly the reality that you're gonna manifest.
Truly.
It's the crazy ones who manifest the crazy things.
I'm telling you. And then just this week, I did a 4-day masterclass, because my money course is getting ready to, my money vibes course drops on Thursday, on Friday. So I did a 4-day masterclass this week around money. And while doing that masterclass, I got a letter from the IRS. Now, what do we do when we get a letter from the IRS?
Why is the IRS contacting me?
I don't have fear around money anymore. And I haven't filed my taxes for 3 years, so I really thought it, because only because they owe me. They owe me money, and I just got to get them done, because I started a business during this time, blah, blah, blah. So I was waiting for it to be like, you took out your 401k money, you owe taxes on it. I know that, you know, is going to come up, but it'll balance out when I file my taxes. So I was waiting to open that and think, oh, okay, they're telling me, so now I got to get on it. I open it up and says, we haven't paid you your stimulus check yet for the COVID.
So here it is.
No, they're basically like, file this paperwork to get your stimulus check, $1,700 for you and your kid.
Just like that.
It's like that.
So you have somehow cracked the code. It doesn't matter what way you did it. Like, money's trying to get to you. Yes. Money's trying to come to you. And I've known you for, what, like over a year now?
Yes.
And we've been pretty close in contact. And I've actually seen your evolution. It's like, the more that you trust, and the more that you're diving into who you are, and the more that you're like, fuck yeah, this is me. Like, I'm remembering. I'm Vicky Welsh. Like, I know who the fuck I am. And the more that you're showing up this bright light, and you're like, I'm meant to be here now. And it's like, money's like, fuck yeah. Like, she's on, she's hot, she's sexy. I want to be near that. And also, like, the way that you invest your money, the way that you're circulating money, the universe is like, yeah, sign me up. I want to go there. I want to flow. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Because all the money that comes into my business, I've been reinvesting in myself to keep growing, to keep expanding. And Sasha, you and I, we're in a mastermind together, and you were present when I went through my money shit. And I mean, this wasn't that long ago. This was February when I went.
Okay. I was going to say, it's like you really went through like a fucking crazy transformation from February to like, and like, I knew this astrologically, like when I read it for you in I think it was February or March, I was like, oh, you're not done. Like, you've got some like shit to go through. And I was like, I'm sorry, but like, I don't want to lie. And like, you really did. You really fucking did. And then you exploded.
Yeah.
In the best way. So yeah. Please go on that.
Yeah. So in February, so I just started my business last year. I just alluded to the fact that I pulled out my 401k money. I pulled out all my 401k money last September so that I could live, because I retired myself from nursing. I'm going full in with coaching. This is my dharma. I know I'm doing my life path. I'm doing it.
And Talk about trust.
I burned.
This is trust. This is like the shit that doesn't make sense.
Right. It didn't make sense. It did not make sense for me to quit my six-figure job, to go all in, but I just, you know that I knew I was meant to activate women. I knew that I was meant to awaken others to their own divinity. I just knew it. I'd been talking about it for way too long. It was time. It was time. And if I didn't do that, I would have never done it. I would have never done it. And so I did, and I spent my money. All of it, because I was, at the time, I
you
was
invested it.
No, I was still an overspender then.
Oh, fuck. All right.
I spent my money. Girl, I spent it. I hadn't had the shift yet. I hadn't done the work yet. I had been doing money mindset work, but I hadn't done any wealth consciousness work.
I remember the moment that you actually went, like, you sent a voice memo, and you were like,
Oh my God. I just wrote, it was like physical and like something happened. And
February, that's when, because here's what happened. I'm going to tell you how you helped me. So in February, my son's birthday, February this year, 2020, my son's birthday was coming. We were days away from it. I didn't have money in my account to give him a birthday party. I was on my kitchen floor crying my eyeballs out. My son hasn't had a birthday party since his first birthday party. We're in Florida. We lived in a neighborhood with all his friends. He wanted a big birthday party. It was going to cost a couple $100, like $300 or $400, whatever. I didn't have the money for it. I was on my kitchen floor in a puddle on my knees crying and begging, why, God, source creator, why is money the thing I have to struggle with? I'm a single mother. I've always been a single mother. Why can't I just give my child a birthday party? And I came into the group, our mastermind, crying my eyeballs out, and you said, you are on the verge of a breakthrough.
When you're at that last straw, that's when it pops. Because you're like, fuck this. I am not available for this.
Yeah.
And I remember that.
Said, record yourself. Record yourself so that you know how you got through this. Yes.
I have chills everywhere, Vicky. I could explode right now. I forgot that I said that to you. Record
yourself. You said that to me. And I did. And you told me, go read the books. Go do this. At the time, we were doing the abundance book together, daily abundance book.
I'm always doing that book.
I do it still, every day, every
Best
single
fucking
day.
Book ever. We're going to leave that below, guys. Don't worry.
The abundance book and Happy Pocket Full of Money.
Fuck yes. Best books ever on money.
Ever. And Dollars Flow to Me Easily.
Those oh, yeah. I'm actually reading, it's not here. Oh, wait. I was actually, sorry. I'm like reading the other one like by dots right now, like today. Dissolve the Problem?
Just got that one. Just got that one. Yep. Dissolve it. I haven't read it yet.
We're soul twins.
Just got it. I think I have every one of his books.
He's so good. Okay. Sorry.
I'm reading Creating Money right now. That's
good.
So I'm reading those two books and I was journaling. I was doing money mindset shifting. I was doing all, and it was 3:00 in the morning. I'll never forget, on February the 26th. And I sat straight up in bed and I said, oh, I get it. I get it now. It was a visceral shift in me. I had a shift at the subatomic level. And I shifted into a knowing. I just had a shift into a knowing. And from that day forward, I have not had fear around money. Let me reframe that. Every time fear tries to creep in around money, I shift it. I know how to shift out of it.
You're one of the stronger, like the strongest shifters in my life. Like you don't, when you say you shift, I just want everybody to like understand what it means when Victoria Wells shifts. It's not just like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going to be scared. It's like, I am not available for this ever again. And it's like a big thing. She's a Leo, everybody. Like she's a Leo. And it's just not a small thing. When you shift, you go from like 2 to like 25. Like there's like no in between.
Cool. Once I commit, that's it. Like I'm committed, it'll never happen again. And if it does, shame on me because I know better.
You're really good at being like, you know, I'm going to own this, but I'm just not going to feel pity. I'm going to move on. Like this is actually serving me to show me, oh, hey, I had a little kink left, but I love you. You made a mistake. It's okay. Like, you know, and then you move on and you're like even more fierce. And that's why I think you've grown so much in a year where many people would have crumbled. You went through the death of your mom, coronavirus at the same time. You had a flood at your house. I mean, I don't want to remind you.
Like my mom died. I stayed a month in Baltimore. I came back to Florida. My home had flooded. A pipe had burst while I was gone. I lost everything I owned to mold and mildew. Oh, I stayed in the frequency of gratitude. I don't know what is in this for me. I have no idea what's on the horizon. I just know that you have bigger and better things for me.
Mm.
Come on, universe. Bring it on.
That's your power. That's one of your powers. I haven't seen that many people go through challenges as gracefully as you do. And you're almost excited. You're like, bring it on. Like you're, and everybody's like, what?
People were waiting for me to crumble. They're like, when are you going to lose your shit? And I, matter of fact, I showed up. I just told this story today because I was a guest speaker in someone else's group. I told this story today, how we lead ourselves through things. And I said, when this happened, I didn't know what was on the horizon. I had no idea. We don't get to see the whole path. We just get to see the step in front of us. So what did I do? I led myself. And how did I show up for my community? I let them see me lead myself. Every single morning, I got up, I walked to the beach, I did a meditation inside of my group for 90 days straight. Every single morning, I did a live inside my group and I led them through a meditation because I was also leading myself.
Yeah, that's the most abundant thing. Like when everything is being stripped away from you, you're still finding a way to give. You're still finding a way to be the giver. And I think whenever we're able to give, whether it's our time, whether it's our energy, whether it's our money, that's a sign of trust in the universe. If you feel like you need to hold on tight to anything, to your husband, to your money, to your child, like you don't trust. You're not trusting. And like, how do you think money doesn't feel invited to that, you know?
Yeah.
So I love everything that you're saying. I'm sure everybody's like, I need to work with her. I need to find her. I need to do all the things. So where can we find you on the interwebs, Miss Welsh? Miss Welsh is wealth. I love that. It's so cool.
You can find me on Facebook. You can find me in the Fierce Feminine Sisterhood. We can put the links up. And on Instagram at the Fierce Feminine. I don't have a website, but I would love
to. You don't need one. Everybody just go to the Fierce Feminine Sisterhood. We're going to link all of Victoria's links below. You can find them in the show notes or in the YouTube comments. One last thing before we go. I just want to ask you, you have a money program right now. This is your chance to like pitch it because I'm sure some people need some money healing in the world. So like, please put it on the table. Everybody needs this, especially now.
Yes. Come join us. Come join us in the program. I will be releasing it on Friday. It's called Money Vibes. You have to do the work and align with the frequency. We will be three weeks together, 21 days, and we start on the 17th.
All right, Victoria, thank you so much for your time. I love you. I adore you. And I'm so happy to share you with my people.
Yes, thank you, love.
Love you.
Love you too.